Good afternoon, this is Harry Marvel. It's 5 minutes after four, and again, that brings me to the place where it's my pleasure to present the lovely young lady who is substituting this week for Emily Kimbrough, whom you usually hear at this time. This gal is starring in The Seven-Year Itch on Broadway, one of the funniest plays I've ever seen in all of my born days. Her name, Miss Vanessa Brown.
Thanks. Hi, Harry.
Hello, Vanessa.
And good afternoon. Harry, I hear you have a card from Emily.
Yes, we
have.
Come
on, I like to read somebody else's mail.
Our gal from Muncie, Indiana, is operating. She's over there, and these cards are from Venice. I think she's in Rome today. And in typical Kimbrough fashion, she lets us know what she's doing. Did you ever hear anyone with such a knack for anecdote and background as Emily Kimbrough?
Yeah, and on one postcard. My God,
on
she's written
postcard.
On the address side.
I know, bless her heart. She said to me, I had almost forgotten how glorious this place is, speaking of Venice. And I had never seen Paris in spring with the horse chestnuts in bloom in rows like wax tapers up the nave of a cathedral. It sounds like Emily, very beautifully expressed. And she sent another card here to our program director. She says, I've been all morning in the Doge Palace. I have been trying to complete transaction of purchase of a midget typewriter. It's taken 3 days, 5% reduction each day, and a marvelous increase of my vocabulary.
Oh, if she keeps this up, they'll pay her.
She borrowed, as I understand. She called herself an Indian giver, having given her son-in-law a very beautiful camera as a wedding gift, which she borrowed back and took with her to Europe. Mm-hmm. She says, I took pictures yesterday, but forgot to unbutton the carrying case, which was unfortunate. I should presume
In other words, that nothing came out.
That's our gal
from
Muncie.
Oh, that's like our guest from yesterday, Mr. Earl Wilson. You know, his wife calls him the Picasso of the camera.
Yes.
Because for the longest time, he had nothing but black rolls of film with white streaks in them. So Emily is the Picasso-esque.
That's right, the Picasso-esque of the camera. Oh. He forgot to unbutton the carrying case. But she's alive, and she's having apparently a very nice time, and it's good to hear from her.
Oh, the cards are beautiful. I wish I were there with her. Harry,
I'm
we
glad
are
you're here.
Here
with me.
We are here.
We are here.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I want you to be properly impressed and shocked at the surprising turn our topic is going to take today. Because I know yesterday we talked about cheesecake and publicity, and our guest was Earl Wilson. Well, today we're switching to Shakespeare repertory and Shakespeare repertory in this country. And our guest later in the program is going to be Mr. Lawrence Langner, founder and co-director of the Theatre Guild.
Well, that is a sweet.
Properly impressed?
Yes, I'm quite impressed.
Properly impressed. Well, this...
I'm always delighted too, Vanessa, if I may interrupt, to learn what we're going to talk about on this broadcast. Always a surprise to me. Delightful. I like it that way.
I'm glad. Sometimes it's nice to be surprised. Sometimes it isn't. I speak from long experience.
Yeah, long experience. Must be all of 22 years old.
Harry.
Long experience.
Harry, but they've been active years.
They have. I know that. Yes, they have.
Harry, I must get back to repertory.
No, I'm thinking of you commuting between here and Hollywood, appearing in all mediums of entertainment, now in a Broadway hit. I think they have been for active years.
Oh, it's been wonderful, though, and you really learn a great deal.
Do you know you're wonderful in that play, Vanessa?
Oh, Harry.
Honest to goodness, I love that play.
Harry,
I have never laughed as long and steadily, I don't think, since I remember in the theater.
Thank you. You know, there's one thing, though. We have guests coming back, and you came back, and they tell you that you're good and the play is good, and then you just sort of try to switch the subject, you know. There have been a lot of sketches written about how funny it is that guests who come backstage and talk about other things, but there must be a nice way of leading them out of telling you how nice it is.
I've wondered about that point, Vanessa. How do you feel about people coming back and raving to you about your performance?
Well,
do you like to have them come back, or would you
I'd
rather
love
they
to have
or...
them come back. I love to know who's there. I'd like to know very much who's there. And I like to know that they enjoyed it. And
period.
Yeah.
That's enough, is it? Really?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd like to talk about them.
Well, that must please them, I should think.
Now, we're all going to talk about repertory.
Right.
If I have to hit you over the head, Harry, we're going to talk about repertory. It's my cause. I'm fighting it like, you know, the drum beaters, those women on the street, with the Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a cause, repertory in this country, shamefully, woefully neglected. We have tried many times to get it started. Eva Le Gallien has just written a book about her experiences with the civic repertory. I've talked to some of the actors in her company, and they learned a great, great deal from her in the experience. I was involved in a couple of attempts at starting repertory on the coast in Hollywood.
Yes.
And maybe I'll tell you a little about that.
I'd like to hear it.
Well,
in fact, I'm delighted to see you interested in repertory.
Well, it's very necessary. I'm interested as one of the young actors who has a lot to benefit from repertory.
Will you?
Well, as I understand it, it should be a company, a group of people, depending on how large, I know, they go up to 50, don't they?
Yes.
50 people, who work together for a period of more than one season. They work together for a period, as long as the repertory is successful, it's been up to 10, 15 years, right?
Right. In which there is not necessarily a star system, right? A rotation of parts?
No, there's a rotation of parts. It's the play. The emphasis is on the play and on the company.
Right.
In other words, when the French company, Jean-Louis Barrault and his wife came over, they wanted a compagnie in letters as large as their name. And they didn't even want their name.
Yes.
They wanted the Jean-Louis Barrault, Madeleine Renaud, Jean-Louis Barrault compagnie.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's the stress is on the company and on the plays. Which is, after all, of greatest benefit to the audience, too.
It might almost compare to the stock companies that we used to see all over the country. They were resident, of course. They usually stayed in the city. But it was the same company in a great number of plays.
That's right. Now, I wonder where there is a difference between stock and repertory. A very decided difference. But I don't know exactly how. Perhaps in the choice of plays.
Maybe in that residence feature where a stock company always stayed for a season.
And therefore had to play... what interested the audience in that district.
Yes, and
whereas the repertory comes from a more cosmopolitan center like New York or Paris or London or Athens.
And might well travel.
And might well travel and therefore would vary its repertory, would take translated things where a local stock company might not.
Mm-hmm. What were the things you were doing on the coast in the repertory, Vanessa?
Well, I was in about 3 or 4 attempts of starting repertory, and you'd be surprised that most of these attempts were things started by actors interested in a place where they could be in the theater,
mm-hmm.
and yet be in pictures at the same time. And the obstacles that they create for themselves is one of the things that has doomed repertory, because it's difficult enough to get a repertory company going. But the self-imposed obstacles, and mainly, I think, the criticism is the choice of plays.
Yes.
They choose Ibsen, which has dated some of it terribly, and they refuse to touch him because he's the great master. And there are bad translations of Ibsen.
Yes.
On top of that. I mean, some of the reforms, some of Ibsen, which was very shocking at the time, must, in order to appeal today, be either cut out or edited.
Yes.
In some way.
And they don't do it.
They can't do it. It's a great master. And they do the same thing with some of the Russians.
Yes.
Chekhov.
Well, do you feel it should have a more popular appeal, the plays which are done in repertory?
Frankly, the beginning, of course, ideal repertory would begin with a new play.
A new play?
A new play. This is the way the great repertory in the romantic age of the theater in France began.
Mm-hmm.
It began with Gautier and with Hugo, and they may not have been great plays, but they were new plays. And there was a verve and fervor which carried the spirit forward. But
yes.
It has to be a new play, and you cannot feel that for an old play. You certainly do perform classics while in the run of the company, but the initial thing is new.
Well, where are these new plays going to come from if they don't come from repertoire, Vanessa? Because the commercial theater, as we think of it now today, and I know there have been new playwrights, sure, every once in a while there'll be a tremendous hit from a new playwright, but not very often, so far as our Broadway theater is concerned. And if we don't have repertoire, how are we going to see these new plays, which might eventually prove to be very worthwhile?
Well, that, of course, is the main difficulty, and that's money,
mm-hmm.
no matter how you look at it. You see, a repertory's difficulty is that if to get good actors, not necessarily name actors, but good actors, they have to insure them a good revenue, and they have to make their schedule flexible enough so that if the actor gets a good picture or something good, you know, in another field, he's got to be allowed to do it.
Yes.
That and the money and the fact that a repertory must exist, even if it has failure. The Barrault Company existed for years with the full support of Paris and the audience that came to it, coming to see failures.
Where might we look for repertory? Can it be countrywide? Can it play small centers? Can't we have a repertoire company come into a place which might be the center of a surrounding countryside and have enough support from that entire countryside to make it worthwhile?
I think repertory has to start in New York. Really, Hollywood is tied time and time again. Repertory has to come from New York or the surrounding of New York, and then will spread to the rest of the country.
We haven't exhausted this subject, but we've talked about it as long as we have. We want to get to our guests.
That's right. Harry, you have a word from our sponsor?
I do indeed. About this time of the afternoon, right in the middle of that long, long stretch between lunch and dinner, I don't know of anything more refreshing than an ice-cold bottle of Coca-Cola. There's nothing like a Coke when the day's chores start getting you down. Of course, there's nothing like a Coke any time of day, I don't think, because it's just naturally delicious and naturally refreshing. And that's because Coke is an exclusive blend of delicious, natural flavorings from all over the world. There's not a drop of imitation coloring or flavoring in Coca-Cola. So it's a drink the whole family can enjoy, youngsters and grown-ups too. Get Coke by the case or handy carton and keep plenty on hand for yourself and the children and those unexpected guests, because it's everybody's favorite. And here's something I'd like to talk about. With the cost of everything, including many beverages, going up, the price of Coca-Cola is still the same. And I say that with a great deal of pride. So pick up a few cartons the next time you're shopping. And remember, Coke's at its best in bottles.
Coke is the natural.
It's the real.
Coke in the bottle, naturally.
Harry, today's guest is very, very, very distinguished. And if I start to rattle off some of his titles, you'll be floored. He's the founder and co-director of the Theatre Guild, which celebrates its 35th anniversary this year. And by the way, they've got a terrific exhibit at the Theatre Guild of the productions of the Theatre Guild, including pictures of old dating back to 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. My subtraction is not very good, so I don't know the first date. But the contribution of the Guild in Shaw and O'Neill productions alone is staggering. And some of the musicals that are pictured there, it's about the best history of the theater you can see, and it's an exhibit open to the public. It's on 23 West 53rd Street, and I urge everyone interested in the theater to come and look at it. I think it's been extended another week. Well, anyway, Mr. Langner is founder and co-director of the Theater Guild. He's author of The Magic Curtain and very many plays, some of them written with his wife, Armina Marshall. He's a noted patent attorney and scientist. He is secretary of the National Inventors Council in Washington, D.C. He's a great leader in the theater. He's on the board of the Council of the Living Theater on ANTA, and he's father confessor of all the pretty young apprentices at Westport in the summer. And he is sponsor of the American Shakespeare Society.
Vanessa, I am properly floored.
You're properly floored because it's only lack of breath on my part that prevents me from going on. Mr. Langner, I've asked you here today because, along with many of my fellow actors, I'm fascinated with this grandiose new project that you're sponsoring, this erection of a Globe Theater in Connecticut, and to found an American Shakespeare Repertory Company. I'd like to know a little bit about how the idea originated.
Well, Vanessa, do you mind my taking issue with you about the way you introduced me? I like everything about it except that father confessor. Did you get the idea that I was the father confessor?
Well, I heard...
They confess nothing to me.
No.
Keep you right
father
in the
is all right, but not the confessor. That part of it I deny. However, now I'll tell you all about how I got this idea for Shakespeare. It didn't come alone. Mrs. Langner and I went to Stratford about 3 years ago, and we were quite overcome with the very wonderful productions of Shakespeare which we saw there. You may have noticed that Brooks Atkinson last Sunday seemed to have been overcome in about the same way.
That's right. The only
difference is he wrote about it and I did something about it. I decided we'd have to have the same thing over here. And so I got to work at it when I came back and started this little group of people working. We got a number of people interested. And we got the state of Connecticut under John Davis Lodge, the governor, who was formerly an actor himself.
Yes. He watched on the Rhine, and I was in it.
Right, so yeah. You know. So we got him to get a bill through, and we were authorized as a non-profit foundation under the state of Connecticut. And the title is the American Shakespeare Festival Theater and Academy. Mm-hmm. So that's how the whole thing got started.
And tell me, how much money do you think you'll need as a whole?
Well, I would say that somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000, somewhere between there is the amount that we want to raise. A lot depends on how much the land costs us.
Uh-huh.
If we can get the land for nothing or for very little, why, yeah, it'll cost us less.
So any of our Connecticut listeners who have any influence with the government, Please see to it that we get a grant of land for nothing. Because I saw something in the paper, you know, recently, that the Connecticut legislature had already passed some sort of a law. What did it mean?
Well, that was a bill which allows them to sell the land in Westport, which we are very much interested in, which the government owns, the state government owns. So the question is now whether the government will sell it to us at a price that we can afford. Uh-huh. And we think there is a good possibility that it may.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, you know, we never like to say anything about a thing like that until it's happened.
No,
we are hopeful, yes.
Sure. Now, this will be devoted entirely to the works of Shakespeare, Mr. Lionel.
Yes, it'll be devoted in the summer as a festival, just like in Stratford. We will have a repertory of Shakespeare plays, three or four, maybe five. And in the summertime, they'll be developed there, and they'll be put on there. And then in the winter, they will go on tour around the country.
Yes.
So that in all the larger cities, they'll be able to see the same company that played in Westport.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also plan to have a junior company, another company, which will go to the smaller towns, universities and colleges, so that they too will be able to see the plays. In other words, it'll be a home for Shakespeare in this country, where his plays will always be kept alive, and where people will go in a festival spirit, so to speak, to see them each year.
I think that's great.
It's very necessary, and Shakespeare certainly has proved himself box office with the Theatre Guild.
Well, always proved himself box office, but very expensive to put on. That's why this festival idea is so important. You practically can't do Shakespeare today, and that's why there's so little of Shakespeare done, because it's not that the public doesn't want to see it, but because it's so expensive to put on the productions and to travel them around, that, for instance, we put on Katharine Hepburn in As You Like It, and Vanessa, I don't have to tell you about that. You were in it.
Yes, that's right.
I was waiting modestly.
We broke records through sleet and storm. Everywhere all over the country. But at the end of 2 years playing in that play, it only made a profit of $6,000 because it cost $106,000 to put it on.
Incredible.
And the railroading has gone up 40% and everything else has gone up.
Sure.
So,
Well, now tell me, that means you don't expect to make any money with the festival. In other words, the money that you raise will be part subsidy for it.
No, the money that we raise is for the building.
For the building?
Yes. And once we have the buildings, we expect to pay for the productions by the festival. So by the time the plays leave Westport and start on tour, they'll have all been paid for. So mm-hmm. we will only have to pay our running expenses.
Mm-hmm. I think that very fact you mentioned, Mr. Langer, about going to see them there in one place in a festival atmosphere is a thing that's so very attractive.
We've never had that in
the
country, as far as I can remember.
Well, this theater will be so pretty, we think. It's going to be constructed exactly like the old Globe Theater with a big four stage. And it's going to be set in an atmosphere of trees and country feeling, so that when you drive up there, we hope there'll be a place where people can picnic, where they can have their, bring their dinners along if they want to, and then come and see the play afterwards. There's enough land in this piece we're looking at, so there's plenty of room. We have even one part of it we've called already the Forest of Arden.
Oh. Well, the whole of Connecticut, that part of it, where your home is and where Westport Playhouse is beautiful.
Well, it's rolling country there.
We spent summers to go there, and it's just wonderful.
And who better than the Theatre Guild to start this idea?
Well, it's not really the Theatre Guild that's starting it. It is the three people in the Theatre Guild, but the reason why we didn't want to make it the Theatre Guild was because we want the whole theater to participate in it, and we felt that if we did it as a Theatre Guild project, it would mean that people would say, well, this is just the Theatre Guild alone, whereas we want this for the whole American theater. So while it is true it was started by the Theatre Guild and will be helped along by the Theatre Guild, it is nevertheless the expression of the whole theater in this country.
Yes.
A most interesting thing happened. Vanessa, I don't mind. Hope you don't mind my telling this story.
No.
But to give you an idea of the enthusiasm there is for this project, we dreamed up something called An Evening with Will Shakespeare. And Margaret Webster was certainly our best Shakespeare director, or one of the best in this country.
Yes.
She worked out a little entertainment, almost like a vaudeville show, in which there was singing from Shakespeare's songs and sketches and speeches and so on, and it was called An Evening with Will Shakespeare, and started in Hartford. And it played Boston, Springfield, Bridgeport, Greenwich, Brooklyn, just for one performance.
You don't have to apologize.
No, we're just saying the Academy of Music. Philadelphia, Wilmington, Baltimore, and then it was in Washington for 2 weeks. It just closed on Saturday. It paid all its expenses and made quite a little profit towards building the theater. So you see, we're already... And the most wonderful thing about this was that everywhere we went, the theater was attended very, very well. In Washington, we played to 25,000 the first week and 26,000 the second week, and that big national theater was filled, and the enthusiasm that this thing provoked was simply marvelous. And in every town we went to, we formed a committee which is going to help to build the theater. So you see, we're on our way. We're not just waiting for money to come along. We're probably going to do two productions of Shakespeare next fall.
To send out throughout the country
without waiting for the theater to be built. We just can't wait. You know, we're in a hurry.
No.
Good for you.
Yes.
Mr. Langer, I know that anyone who has heard this and anyone who has seen The Evening with Will Shakespeare has become more enamored of the idea than they were even at the outset. Actors are interested because it'll provide a training ground for them, and they will no longer accuse the American young actors of not speaking the Shakespeare line. And older actors are interested because it will give them an opportunity to use what they haven't used for so long. And the audiences will be enthused because of what is being offered in richness. And I hope that we can eventually go to England and go to France and go to Greece and repay the country's courtesy call with their repertory company and shine as well as they did in this country. I want to thank you very, very much, Mr. Langer, for coming up here and telling us about the American... Tell me the title.
Shakespeare Festival Theater and Academy. And the Academy is the place where we're going to run a school of acting for teaching the special things that are needed for Shakespearean acting.
How will the actors be engaged, Mr. Langdon? For that'll be a pretty good season for them, won't it?
Well, it will, because we'll sign them up for a year. We wouldn't want anyone who wasn't willing to stay a whole year with it, you see.
And he'll have them, and you'll have them.
Oh, they're all
dying
to come.
Yes, absolutely. Mr. Langer, thank you, and congratulations on your three magnificent awards. Picnic, which the Theatre Guild produced, has won two awards. They won the Pulitzer Prize for the Best American Play, and they won the Critics Prize for the Best American Play, and The Love of Four Colonels, which won the Critics Prize as the Best Foreign Play this season. I haven't had a chance to see Picnic, but I've seen Four Colonels, and I loved it. And I'm very honored, Mr. Langer, and all of our listeners, if they can help, if they can have ideas, if they have money, even better. Please, the Theatre Guild's address is 23 West 53rd Street.
Oh, and they can take it off their taxes, you have to say that.
Of course.
That's very important. In other words, it doesn't cost very much to help, because whatever the government would take can go towards the building of this theatre. Yes, that's right.
Thanks.
Great
project.
Thank you very much.
Now, tomorrow, Miss Vanessa Brown.
Tomorrow's project is Beauty. The Changes.
A very fitting project, may I say, looking at your eyes.
Harry, what will Emily say?
Beauty tomorrow.
Beauty tomorrow. We have one of the country's foremost plastic surgeons as guest, Dr. Robert Allen Franklin, and he will talk about the relation of plastic surgery to the movies and the theater. And before we talk to Dr. Franklin, we will play a song tomorrow. So it's light and gay and beautiful. Listen, won't you?
I hope you will. Join Vanessa Brown and me tomorrow at the same time, 4:05 to 4:30. Until then, thank you for listening, and good afternoon.
During this week of Emily Kimbrough's vacation, Vanessa Brown and Harry Marble visit you each Monday through Friday at this time. Their program is directed by Jim Brown. Stay tuned now for Galen Drake on the Housewives Protective League program. Exclusive. Yes, tomorrow evening at 6:15 and again at 10:45, WCBS Radio will bring you two of the first in a series of programs covering the famed Palm Beach Tournament. And as with so many exciting sports events, our broadcast of this golf classic will be a radio exclusive. This is New York, WCBS AM and FM.